Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about education, and we're in our third program on this series, and we're not even through the second article on the subject that we're going to have appearing on News with Views, we're showing not only that education has been used since, you know, thousands of years ago, common education, where you have to go to some special professional to learn. It has been an instrument, or desired to be an instrument, of molding the thinking of mankind. We show that in the Bible it says, "Fathers, teach thy sons," and you should be teaching your children at home. And that doesn't mean that you couldn't put together classes where, as a congregation or group of congregations, that you gather together and have an interactive class. We've had a couple of shows on some innovative studies done by an individual who was seeing that you actually don't need teachers to teach kids a lot of things, but you do need a certain guidance. You know, his granny team that he had to, where kids are looking up to an adult figure. And one of the critical things in the one-room schoolhouse was the character of the teacher. You had to have a teacher that had a strong moral character and discipline. I always remember that when I was refurbishing the one-room schoolhouse here in Summer Lake where I live. It's not used for education anymore. As a matter of fact, inside is kind of a shambles, but the outside looks good. So it's all white and pretty and nice shingles, but inside it actually has toxic poison and cans with skull and crossbones on it and broken glass everywhere and rusty nails everywhere because nobody cleans up the inside. They haven't paid for that. They just want that outside to look good. That's kind of the spirit that we have in the world today. I would fix up the inside more than anything else, but in fixing the steps, I found underneath the schoolhouse steps a bottle of whiskey and a shot glass on top of the bottle of whiskey. The whiskey was all gone, but the shot glass was there. I still have it, and I thought this had to be the teacher's, because if some kid had hit it there, he wouldn't have bothered with the shot glass. But the teacher was a little more refined. But it's very important that you have this moral character that is the guiding spirit of the education of your children. And since it's very difficult to see inside the souls of other people, you should be that guide. You need to take that responsibility. Rights are the results of taking responsibilities. You cannot have rights if you don't take responsibility. That's just an essential part of the reality of our existence in the world today. And it's been that way for thousands of years. So parents give up their rights when they drop the children off at public school, according to Melinda Harmon, federal judge in 1996, because they are giving up their responsibility of educating their children. You think, oh, well, I go down and I talk to the school board. Yeah, well, school boards are designed to placate parents. They actually don't do that. I mean, we saw recently where a father spoke up about a book that was required reading for his teenage daughter, and it was pornographic. They couldn't even read those sections of the book that the kid was required to read on the radio because it was too graphic But yet young, impressionable teenagers are required to read them. Now, his daughter looked like a girl of some character, and she spoke also and got on YouTube. But the parent was arrested for speaking up. And he was outraged, but he was, you know, the guy's a lawyer. He was very careful about cooperating. But the school board had the cop there, previously instructed him that they were going to want this guy arrested if he spoke up. And he spoke up, and he went over his two-minute limit. So instead of when he finally quieted down, was sitting there and complaining about this, which he considered to be very important to him, they had him arrested and taken away in handcuffs. Now, the amazing thing is, one of the things that they're studying in that book, why they're looking at that book, which involves a rape scene to titillate young minds with, not to get across a point. I mean, it's not written to show the horrors of rape, but almost to excuse it. It's terrible. But the book was supposedly trying to show us about bullying in school and how bad bullying is in school. But what was the school board doing by having a cop arrest this father for his legitimate concerns about what is being forced on his child to read in school? They bullied him. They used the police to do it. And the police went along with it. Because there's a spirit of bullying in America. The fact that that school is standing brick upon brick today at all as a public institution, the fact that those teachers are receiving a salary and benefits, and the retired teachers are receiving benefits, is the result of bullying, of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your child's education at the point of a gun. That is bullying. Your system is built not on the spirit of liberty, but on the spirit of bullying. And this is why people warred against public education at the beginning, because they saw this creeping in philosophy of bullying, which is why we saw in the last show Karl Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, all bullies wanting public education. You want public education? You're a bully. That's right, you're a bully. You have the spirit of a bully in you. You want to force your neighbor, child or no child, to pay for your child's education. And you are absolutely willing to waive your rights as a parent and no longer be the father of your child and give that power over to public education. Now, that man who spoke up, he spoke up with some courage. He was angry. The real courageous one there, in my opinion, although she was a little bit ticked as well, was the girl, the daughter, when she spoke up. She spoke up so polite. But she said, "I don't trust you anymore. And you shouldn't trust him. But can you trust yourself not to be a bully? Not to force your neighbor to provide welfare for you?" I just posted a part of an article that actually went out to a lot of the people on the network, the Living Network, which you should all be belonging to, the Living Network, by going to thelivingnetwork.org, which will take you to preparingyou.com. And you can sign up for the local network and get to know people in your area. That woman who's being put in jail in Ireland for doing a great job in raising her children and educating her children, but she forgot to ask permission. She didn't forget. She refused to ask permission because she considered raising her children and educating her children to be a fundamental right, which according to international law, it is a fundamental right. But that judge, being the God that he is, says, no, she's got to go to jail because I'm going to call the good she has done evil. And all you people sit in your churches and pray to whoever you call Jesus as if he's going to actually hear you while she sits in jail. You're not a Christian. You're taking the name of Jesus in vain. You're not going to her aid. You're not storming the citadels peacefully, storming the citadels of that court saying, let this woman go. The fact you have her in jail is an iniquity. Well, the fact that you have been forcing that woman to pay for your child's education for years and years while she educated her children at home, that's an iniquity. And Jesus is going to say to you, keep away from me, ye workers of iniquity. You have been coveting your neighbor's goods in your policies and practices for decades, for a century now. You are the wicked. And I tell you that because I love you enough to call you to repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. And the article I just recently posted is on salvation. The first definition of salvation is welfare. So where do you go to welfare? Because Paul, King David, talks about your welfare being a snare and a trap. And that's what's happened. Your children are thrown in to the altars of Baal when you drop them off at school. When you put them on the yellow bus, we used to call it the Nebo bus, because in ancient times, Nebo was the god of education. You're sending your children off so that men like Stalin and Hitler can change their minds. Lenin can change their minds, because those men are orchestrating what is in your school books. And before we're done, we'll show you that. By their own words, by the words of your own government investigators, that is what has been going on for a century in America. For more than a century in America. Steadily creeping in to your minds and to the minds of your children. And so now it is my task to change the way you think. But I have to use voluntary means. All I can do is speak to you. I can't hit you with a stick. I can't come to your house with a gun and say, stop this iniquity. But you need to repent. And you need to help other people repent. You need to help them homeschool. You have no kids? Help others homeschool. Become a community again. That's the way it used to be. The schoolhouses were built by the parents. And a lot of the education was in their home, and the teacher had to live in their home. They had to instill in the teacher their values or fire her or him. Was it a perfect system? Not till we have perfect people, but it was a system of the people, for the people, and by the people. The system you have today is for the Stalins of the world, the Hitlers of the world, the Karl Marxes of the world, the people who would exercise authority one over the other world, the Nimrods, the Pharaohs. But you're all a bunch of little Pharaohs. Because you want that free education. You want that free welfare. You want that social security. You want that civil salvation. And you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to start thinking another way. And that way is the way of Christ. Patrick Henry said, we are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth. But he also said, for my part, I'm willing to know the worst truth. To know the worst. And to provide for it. And that means home education. It doesn't mean getting rid of Common Core. It'd be nice to get rid of Common Core. I can tell you this. If, you know, you want power, you go down there and shake your, the Common Core is terrible. We have to take it out of our schools. It isn't your schools. It's Stalin's schools. It's Lenin's schools. It's Karl Marx's schools. That's whose schools it is. It's public schools. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your rulers. And you go down and say, change it. You change. You can do something about you. You can't do anything about them. I mean, it's great to protest, and I'm all for the people who are speaking up. That's a start. That's better than what you've been doing. But you want the solution? Get together with every parent and say, let's all start homeschooling our children. Two reasons. One, they'll get a better education. Chances are, because at least you're the people that stand up, you'll probably do a good job homeschooling your kids. There's been a lot of inroads in how to do that, a lot of ways to do it. I can't dictate to you how to do it, but I can show you what works. But each of us should take that responsibility to figure that out. And that's what we need to do. We cannot fix the public school education, but I can tell you this, when they start seeing thousands of people taking their children out and homeschooling them, they will change their tune. But that doesn't mean to take your kid back there, because it's still coveting your neighbor's goods to get a free education by forcing your neighbor to contribute to it, which is bullying, which is iniquity, which is coveting, which is antichrist. Wow, man, am I a radical or what? During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. There is no greater revolutionary than Christ. John the Baptist was a revolutionary. He said, if your neighbor doesn't have a coat and you have two, share. If your neighbor's having trouble educating their children, share. He doesn't say, hire men with guns to force your neighbor to contribute to your child's education. That's a different spirit. That's not the spirit of Christ. You need to repent of that spirit. You need to turn around. You need to go another way. That's repentance. Getting dunked in water, that's nothing. Saying, Lord, Lord, that's nothing. It's doing the will of the Father. Do you earn salvation? No, it's still going to be grace. You won't even do a good enough job. But at least you'll start back to your Father's house instead of dropping your children off and waiving your rights as a parent. For 144 years, this nation has tried to impose objectives downward from a lofty command center made up of experts, a central elite of social engineers. It hasn't worked. It won't work. It doesn't work because its fundamental premise are mechanical, anti-human, and hostile to the families. Lives can be controlled by machine education, but they will always fight against with weapons of social pathology, drugs, violence, self-destruction, indifference, and the symptoms I see in the children I teach. Who's saying this? Who's the crazy guy saying this? He's a teacher, a public school teacher. It destroys communities by regulating the training of children to the hands of certified experts. You can put that in quotes if you want. And by doing so, it ensures our children cannot grow up fully human. Award-winning teacher of the year, time and time again, advocate of home school education, John Taylor Gatto. So you go tell me. Your children are becoming mindless automatons, and the problem is they have a diploma that says they know what they're talking about. Again, back to Mark Twain. It's not so much what you don't know, it's what you absolutely know is true that just ain't so. Rather than instilling in the youngsters an appreciation of individual liberty, the system has brought to life the ancient pharaonic dream of Egypt: compulsory subordination for all. Schools teach exactly what they are intended to teach, and they do it well. How to be a good Egyptian and remain in your place in the pyramid. It is a great triumph of compulsory government monopoly mass schooling that among even the best of my fellow teachers, this is a teacher speaking again, and among even the best of my students' parents, only a small number can imagine a different way to do things. Again, John Taylor Gatto. Outspoken guy, so I have to end up quoting him. To restore sanity to American education, to rescue the embattled family, and to preserve the perpetuate individual freedom, a different way to do things must be found. The different way is the old way, home education. It's the way we used to do it in America when we were going from a wilderness to a great nation. Now we have reversed that process, and we're going from a great nation to a totalitarian state, following in the paths of Adolf Hitler, Lenin, Marx, and the rest of the socialists who are out there and live next door to you and think they would like to see me burned at the stake. Fortunately, they don't do that. But they will come to persecute, eventually, because I'm just too outspoken. But there's nothing between me and them but the power of God. And that's the only thing I'm going to rely on, because I can't rely on most of you. You'll scatter. You won't show up. You won't be there. Most of you will not be there. Some of you might, but that's between you and God. You see, because I can't force anybody to do what's right. I can't hit you with my staff. I have a staff. It's made out of oak. I hit a dog with it once. and he suddenly got the fear of the Lord in him. I had two of my dogs with me, a German Shepherd and a Border Collie, and a Husky and a Rottweiler came out to investigate our sheep. I let them come out, and they sniffed around as dogs will do. And then all of a sudden, one of them moved towards the sheep and scared the sheep, and the Border Collie, not the German Shepherd, the Border Collie was on him like black fire. I mean, all you saw is black and white going around that dog like you, it was just a blur. I couldn't even see it. And the other dog was about to join into the ruckus, and I swapped him with my oaken staff across his back, and suddenly he got his attention. The Border Collie finished with the Husky. The Rottweiler got the one that got the smack, and the Husky went off limping and whining because this little tiny Border Collie just tore it to shreds in seconds. And then I quickly swung the hook over and put it around my German Shepherd's neck so that he didn't get into the fray. And those two dogs went wandering off. So I can use that staff. I was fast. I was amazed at how fast I was. I may have slowed down a little bit in old age now, but we ended a huge wreck there with very quick action with the staff. But I can't hit you with my staff. Moses wasn't supposed to use his staff. That's bad. All I can do is talk to you. And when this show is over and you're finished listening, you can go, yeah, he said a lot of good things. Now I'll just go back to doing what I was doing before. You've got to change your ways. You got to start living your life as a sacrifice, not only for yourself and your own personal pleasure, but for others. You have to become diligent. You've squandered time. It's kind of like, I know a guy who took a lease on a place and he did not fix the fences. Actually, the new owners didn't fix the fences. I know other people who don't fix fences like they should. For years and years they go by and they just, yeah, I'll get to that. But they put it off and they put it off and they put it off. And it gets to the point where now it's a full-time job to fix the fences. But he's still got to do all the other things, the hand and all that stuff. And he doesn't have time. So now it's going to take a lot of overtime. You're going to have to work. You know, it's the Alice in Wonderland economy that you created. You have to run as fast as you can just to stay where you are. If you want to get anywhere, you're going to have to run twice as fast. You have been slothful in the ways of God. You're going to have to be like the ant, diligent. You're going to have to work some overtime. And you say, well, I can't work on Sabbath. People ask me, somebody on the call asked me recently about my opinion on the Sabbath. Well, if you hadn't taken so many days off in the past, you know, my idea is a vacation once every 5 years. And other people's idea of vacation is five every year. But if you hadn't taken so much time off and neglected the righteous ways so long, you wouldn't have to remember the ant, you sluggard. And you wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. But you've neglected that. Now you say, but we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. It says so in the Bible. But what happened if your sheep is in a pit? Jesus said, wouldn't you go and draw it out? So you can work on the Sabbath if your sheep is in a pit. What about if the entire nation is in a pit of stupidity and foolishness and ignorance and debt? Do you have to work on the Sabbath then? To pull them out of the pit? It's amazing the number of people who call me on the Sabbath. I got 3 hours of radio broadcasts on the Sabbath. And sometimes I get the time to monitor one of our community calls. Plus all the other stuff. And then people call me and I'm on the phone for hours. So, but join the network. That's what it's there for. There's a lot of people on the network that are starting and have been starting to learn this, and they can speed your progress along and bring you up to speed with your education. You can't really be re-educated. You haven't been educated. You've been brainwashed. With this new learning came new ideas. Okay? As long as the child breathes the poisoned air of nationalism, education in world-mindedness can produce only precarious results. As we have pointed out, it is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. The school should therefore use the means described earlier to combat family attitudes that favor jingoism. Who said that? Well, that came out of your government. We'll tell you when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to be in the world but not of it, and what it means perhaps for the first time to truly love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. The kingdom of God is at hand. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And I quoted something just before the break. And most of you probably don't know where that's from. But if you're familiar with a lot of the stuff that we do, maybe you do. But that's a direct quote. It was actually from the Assistant Secretary of State of the United States. He says, as long as the child breathes the poisoned air of nationalism. Now, this is your Secretary of State. You know, it's the Assistant Secretary of State, and he's actually speaking in front of UNESCO. And he's referring to his actual job, which is to minister to the nation as the Secretary of the State. He's referring to that idea of nationalism as poison. Education in the world mindedness, so that do we need a Secretary of State once we have a one world order? he's talking about getting rid of his job. Of course, he figures he'll get another job in the new world order. And, you know, I don't want to do the new world order whole thing and everything. That's just too big. You can't do anything about that. You can't change the course of history, past or future. You can only change your relationship to the world. You're not just in the world, you're of the world. You're sending your kids to the school. Now, some of you are taking your kids out, but you're becoming recluses. You need to come together, not forsaking the gathering together. You need to be a government. That means people coming together, of the people, for the people, by the people. You need to become the social welfare institutions of your society. You need to take back your responsibilities. If you don't take back your responsibilities, you will not be free. And God will not come to your aid when you need help. And you will need help because you cannot do this on your own. There is too much coming. We just had little earthquakes in a town nearby here in the last couple of days. Little ones. But there will be big ones. And you will have to depend upon the gods which you have chosen for yourself, because the God of heaven will not hear you, because you've been using his name in vain in your churches, because you have not been tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Sheldon Richmond also said, regardless of motives, the people who foisted state education on us have committed a grave offense. Using a variety of strategies, we must reclaim the right to raise our children and to help them educate themselves. In a fundamental sense, that is the American way. We aren't going the American way. We are going contrary to the American way. The future of education in America as a free society. Now, this is written a while ago, because I read this way back when I started homeschooling my children, who now have children, and whose children now have children. But he says, the future of education and of America as a free society depends on the liberation of the American family from the grip of public schools. Most American families don't want that liberation. You're already in a minority. It's not enough to be ordinary. It is essential to be extraordinary. This is going to take overtime. You cannot put off jobs. You cannot put off industry. You cannot put off diligence. You must be diligent. You know when it says, we talked about this, I think in the first part of this series, the word study shows up 3 times in the King James Bible. 2 times in the New Testament. Both times translated from different words that don't mean study. They mean be diligent. Like in strive. Endeavor. It doesn't mean study. Scholars changed it and said, oh, we're going to say that means study. Why? Because that's what we do. We do a lot of studying. Well, you should have studied the word that you just translated there, because it means to be diligent. Be diligent to show thyself approved. I really worry about people who have hundreds of underlines and marks in their Bible. They study. That's fine if you want to do that. But it's very dangerous, because you may not be diligent in the actual ways of the kingdom. You may not really come to be a servant. You may actually come to be a ruler, to rule over people, to press people, We come to be a servant. This is what Christ came to be, is a servant. He would give up his life, give up the comforts, like Moses gave up the comforts for a season, for the welfare of others. Anyway, the future of education, as he said, in America, except for the fact that he wrote this a long time ago, and the future has been going the wrong way. Now, there's a lot more people homeschooling than there used to be, but there needs to be 10 times that number. And not just homeschooling, but home health, home welfare. This is what the early church was doing. The idea of mass institutionalized education is a modern phenomenon. The idea of mass institutionalized social welfare is an experiment of failure that is not new, that is as ancient as Babylon. It is the Corbin that makes the Word of God to none effect. And you've all gone that way, and we need to turn around and we need to go back. Parents have neglected their God-given rights and responsibilities by turning their children over to institutions. The moral strength of a nation is only as strong as the moral strength of its individuals. If we want better people to make a better world, then we will have to begin where people are made. And that's in the family. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire was the result of the disintegration of the family. The disintegration of the family was the result of social welfare. Social welfare was the result of Augustus's attempt at social engineering. History is repeating itself. We are in the midst of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And real Christians not only survived it, they thrived during it. But the problem is, most of you out there are not real Christians. You're not gathering together, tithing daily to be there for one another. You're not showing up for one another when you are abused in the courts or in society or wherever. You know, we saw Justina, now we see this woman in Ireland. Like I said, there should be tens of thousands of people saying, let her go. But there aren't. I mean, even with all the power of your gurus, like, you know, I don't want to pick on the guy. I think, you know, he's outspoken. But, the power of the media that did finally come to the aid of Justina still struggled forever to get her out of the clutches of those brutes who were abusing her. And not that I think that the parents are doing an immaculate, perfect job. I mean, why did they have so much trouble? They've been going to the government to take care of their child for years. And the government just finally said, well, hey, you know, when you drop your child off, it belongs to us. And they got a taste of that. They started real, and it took this huge lawyers and protests and all this stuff, and yet the protests were tiny. 50 people show up to protest. It was a sad state of affairs. In Ezekiel 16:49, it says, behold, this was the iniquity of the sister, Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So there's two sins there. Idleness. You've been idle now for years. And now there's a lot of overtime to do. In Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What is he talking about? He's talking about history. You need to know history. Your history, your father's history, your grandfather's history. You need to know these things, and you are not being taught these things in your school. You are being taught something that is a lie, something that opposes the truth, that is against the truth, and against the ways of Christ. And you need to repent. You need to repent of that and turn around and go the other way. You need to go home. Anyway, we don't have time to go into it completely thoroughly, but I'll touch on it. The Rees Committee, and some of you have probably heard about this, but the Rees Committee was an investigative committee back in the 1950s, 53, and one of the chief investigators was Norman Dodd. And he realized the same thing that I was realizing when I was reading these school books. I didn't know Norman Dodd. I didn't know about the Rees Committee. I wasn't ever taught anything about that. I was attending school back in the 1953s, private school. I didn't go to public school, which is probably part of my problem. Although they were teaching lies in the private schools as well. But I finally saw those lies too. And so now that when I come out, I'm immediately called a lunatic and a fool. But the fact is I have to rub everybody's nose in the fact that you have been deceived. Get used to it. I know it's a great disappointment to find out that you've been lied to. You know, I was all upset when I found out there was no Santa Claus either. I wasn't upset that there was no Santa Claus. I was upset that they had lied to me. But I'm over it. Pretty much. So anyway, the point is, get used to it. You've been deceived. You've been going the wrong way. You've wasted your time. Repent. Turn around. Be diligent to show thyself approved. Start doing what you need to do. And if your kids are already grown and you can't do for them, do for your grandkids. And if your children don't want to have anything to do with you because they think you're a crazy, loony old person, which is what you told them when you sent them to first grade to begin with, at least go out and help those people who will receive your help. Gather together. Support the efforts to become the health, education, and welfare of a free society. You don't know how to be free as a society. You are totally incompetent in the ability to be free as a society. If the present government were to suddenly disappear with a flash from the sun, you would have total chaos. The people on drugs is unbelievable. And they're all going to be on withdrawal. It's going to look like zombie land. Because most of you are zombies. You're just drug zombies. You know, manageable zombies. You haven't ever thought before. You know, it's kind of like the Matrix. She says, "What's wrong with my arms?" He says, "You've never used them. You're going to have to learn how to move in a free society. You don't know how to do that." Well, I know lots of guys who want to be free, but they don't want to be responsible. They don't want to take care of their families. They don't want to take care of their neighbor. They just want to take care of themselves. They want their cabin in the woods full of beans. And they're full of beans. It's not going to work. You want to save your life? Lay down your life. That's not a suggestion. That's the plan. Revelations 28. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth." Is that going to happen? Or has that already happened? Are you already under a strong delusion, or is that coming? All these guys say, "Oh, they're going to have a strong delusion, and they're going to have a blue light in the sky, and they're going to make us think that the..." You already are deluded. The New World Order has been here for years. They're just trying to figure out how to break it to you. And they don't really care if you know it or believe it. It's all a distraction. Like the book 1984, the underground was the system. The guy that was helping you hide in the underground. I mean, I was just astounded. You know, the first nine members of the Black Panthers, most of them were undercover agents. Most of them were undercover agents for the government. They were able to do all the things that they were doing because they were funded by the government. This is not a secret. This is history. You know, that's just the way it is. Get used to it. And now, it's not, the government is not the enemy. The enemy is us. Somebody wrote that just recently on the Australian group. And I responded, yeah, but the good thing about the enemy being us is we can defeat the enemy if we will surrender. But we are fighting against the truth. But anyway, Norman Dodd, just to give you a brief insight into what we'll cover on the next show, is Norman Dodd was the chief investigator for the Reese Committee in 1953. Dodd had worked in the elite banking institutions in the early professional life, but he had made a moral decision to not play the game. Now, you can actually look up on YouTube Norman Dodd, D-O-D-D, and you'll find an interview up there by an old friend of mine. He's a guy I know. I know his brother, talked to his brother a lot because he's out here in Oregon. And been there, been in courtrooms with him. But anyway, you can hear that interview. And I would download it and upload it again somewhere else so that it gets around. Dodd quoted Rowan Gunther, the president of the Ford Foundation, who stated that they operated under directives to, quote, use our grant-making powers to alter life in the United States so it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. That's a quote by the chief investigator of the Reese Committee, funded by the government of the United States. Dr. Joseph Johnson at the Carnegie Endowment for the International Peace permitted Dodd to examine the 50 years of handwritten minutes to their meetings. Dodd sent a well-educated lawyer by the name of Catherine Casey to examine the records. Dodd realized that Johnson did not know what was in the records, and he sent Catherine because she was a skeptic of any wrongdoing on the part of these multi-million dollar tax-exempt philanthropic organizations. So anyway, she goes in there thinking that the Reese Committee is a waste of time and that these people are all great, wonderful, loving people and wouldn't do anything harmful to anybody. But she has a rude awakening. Actually, she could not deal with the truth. Her mind, her life was changed as she read the minutes in 1908, which discussed war as the best way to alter the lives and thinking of the American people. That's right. They wanted to extend the war. It was getting over too quick. In 1909, it was discussed how to involve the U.S. in that war, deciding that control of the State Department was essential. This is what they're discussing in these philanthropic organizations, Carnegie, Guggenheim, Ford foundations, back in those days. Now, they're a little bit more careful about the minutes of their meetings. So there are backrooms conspiracies, and they actually wrote it down and discussed it. Later, after the Americans entered World War I, a message was dispatched to President Wilson to discourage an early end to the war. This would explain Wilson's interest in the UN, then was only called the League of Nations, and also the Federal Reserve, and the income tax. And his final statement, since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the U.S. in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of somebody, are afraid of something, they know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak about it above a whisper in condemnation of it. And here I am saying, yeah. But of course, I'm nobody. I'm just a shepherd out in the wilderness with a wooden staff made out of oak that I can only use on dogs. Bad dogs. I don't use it on my dogs. Just Rottweilers trying to eat sheep. So anyway, after the war, it was determined that the key was the alteration in the teaching of American history. Noted and respected historians like Charles and Mary Beard were approached, but they rejected the overtures of this controlling, benevolent enterprise. The Guggenheim Foundation, on the other hand, agreed to supply fellowships to hand-picked historians who began to write history with a new slant and delusive perception. The books, underwritten by these altruistic organizations, were quickly picked up by schools whose economic bottom line often determined the quality of the curriculum. You know, I'll give you another Mark Twain quote. God made the idiot for practice, and then he made the school board. So anyway, I couldn't pass that up. I had to add that to the book. There's another section in the book where it comes out to coming home. And I had to quote Gandhi here. Some people complain that I quote Gandhi, but I mean, the truth is where you find it. I mean, I'll quote almost anybody. I quoted Adolf Hitler earlier. There is no school equal to a decent home, and no teacher equal to a virtuous parent. But a virtuous parent is not going to send their kids to public education. Not a truly virtuous parent. And I know that sounds like such a radical statement. But you need to start working to teach your children at home. You need to start coming together. There are people who will help you educate your children at home. And if you gather together on the Living Network and form congregations of record where people are actually investing their time and energy, we don't have to just build houses in North Dakota. The United States is the biggest mission field, the most important mission field in the world today, because they are under the strongest delusion that they are free. And they are actually workers of iniquity. The evil wants to bring it down and has brought it down to the level of Stalin and Lenin and Marx. So that you get people who are in the Senate who say fundamental Bible-believing people do not have the right to indoctrinate their children in their religious beliefs because we, the state, are preparing them for the year 2000 when America will be a part of the new world global society and the children will not fit in. Well, good. But that was said a long time ago and you've wasted time. Let's get together. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.